Women's Chayvus Halavas Shir, Shara Avodas Elokim.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
I was thinking about the Avodas Elokim, about the having to, first of all, do everything as though it depends on us. And still know that it's Hashem in control. Isn't that one of the reasons we need Hishtadlus? We have to work, we have to plan and do as though.
Yeah, that's what he says. That's what we learned last week.
Isn't that one of the reasons for Hishtadlus?
What do you mean, one of the reasons?
Well, so that we have to do Hishtadlus to be able to put that concept into.
Into practice, yeah, that's what he says. That in Shaar HaBitachon, he says in Shaar HaBitachon Paragimel, that one of the reasons, one of the two reasons, that Hashem created a world in which Hishtadlus is necessary, is in order to have what we call the playing field for Bechira. That's where you choose what to do. If you wouldn't have to do Hishtadlus, so you could stay home all day, you'd be like the cat. You say, see a cat outside, has no worries. Doesn't have to meet the mortgage. You don't see a cat reading the want ads in the newspaper, looking for a job. He's very comfortable. Doesn't have to worry about a shidduch. Doesn't have to worry if he's going to pass the test, if he's going to get through school. Very relaxed, a cat. So why can't we be like cats? Because ultimately we are, really, in terms of our status in life. If we're going to have money, not going to have money. So why did Hashem make us go through the motions, as he explains in Shaar HaBitachon? So he said, because that's where we manifest our Bechira. You show who you are when you pursue what you want. That's what life is. I want certain things, I pursue what I want. Hashem says you have to pursue it a certain way. You can't go kill everybody in sight, whether it's with your tongue or with a gun, same thing. You can't, you have to be honest, you have to keep Shabbos, you have to eat kosher, you pursue things you want, whether it's in marriage, or having children, or in working and earning money, you have to do it a certain way. So that's the playing field of Bechira. Yeah. Just to go over, we're starting Perek Tes, really, but I want to go over quickly the point he made in Perek Ches. He made at the end of Perek Ches, he made it's really, I think, a very deep point that I would like to say over. Maybe it's a little too deep for me, but he said there were three philosophical ways of dealing with the apparent contradiction between if a person's free or if Hashem, if a person's free to do what he wants, or if Hashem decides what it'll be. So he says one mahalach is a person's free. The second mahalach is the other extreme. Hashem controls everything. And how could it be schar v'onesh? We have no idea, but we just trust Hashem that he's fair. But Hashem decides everything that happens. The third way, now in the third way, it's interesting. The third way, he says, takes a little of both. Takes a little of both. Hashem's in charge of everything, except for Bechira. Except for Bechira. But we don't really understand that. He then goes on to digress, and that's where he talked about these machines that we don't really know how it works. And if you pick up any science journal, I don't know, either in Hebrew or in the airport, they're like Scientific American or any science journal, and you just leaf through the pages, or take any New York Times Tuesday, they have Science Times, take anything, and it has one or two things that they say they don't understand how it works. Always, always, always. And so he's talking ten centuries ago. So he's saying, you don't understand how this machine works, how that machine works. It looks strange, you know, or even we look at a fax machine, or now we look at a computer. I mean, unless you know how it works, you look at it, it's like, It's pretty amazing. A scanner, a fax machine. How does it work? But if you know how it works, you know how it works. So he goes through a few examples like that. And then he says, if we don't know how such things work, we certainly don't know how Hashem works. I'm sorry. Hello? Yes, it is. But I can't speak to you now, I'm afraid, unless it's an emergency. Could it wait till tomorrow? Okay, call me tomorrow. Call me anytime tomorrow. Okay, bye-bye. So he goes through a bunch of machines and says, we don't know how they work. I would say, like the fax machine, we don't really know how it works. Or a computer, we don't know how it works. So he says, and that's like something man created. So we certainly don't know how Hashem works. And he emphasizes that we don't really understand Darkei Hashem. That is very interesting, because you would think that would be more true in the second way, because the second way really also said, just trust Hashem. But you see, the third way, as I said, is more problematic philosophically. The idea that Hashem left over a corner, and that it's, you know, there's like one corner in which you can choose, but the result is up to Hashem. The result is up to Hashem. It's like it's this giant jigsaw puzzle, and everything has to work out, and everybody gets what they deserve, and everything that happens to everybody happens because it's supposed to happen. But meanwhile, people are choosing. So you would think, like, it's not going to work. So that's what he says. Hashem is the mastermind of everything, and we don't have to know how it works and how it comes out that I make choices and you're making choices and everybody's making choices, but everything happens the way Hashem wants it to happen. Now, that's how he says it here in Shaar Avodas Elokim. The truth is, in Shaar HaBitachon, he tells the secret, which he doesn't tell it here. In Shaar HaBitachon, he tells the secret. He says, the freedom of choice is only in your decision. It's only in your decision. It's not in accomplishing your decision. You can't, even if it's Bechira, you have to, it's up to Hashem. If I want to take challah, I have to use a woman example. I want to put on tefillin. Someone told me a story. I'm going to tell the story. Obviously, I'm not going to tell her what happened to. But I just hope no one here knows what happened to. I mean, I'm not. It's just, you know, you think, I want to take challah. Someone was making challah, and they had like a list of different kavanas they were supposed to have, and they were even thinking chavis halvavas type thinking, gratitude, and they forgot to take challah. They didn't take challah. They didn't take challah. They made a bracha even. I don't know what happened. It's hard for me to imagine what happened, but I'm saying that that's called bashert. It was no lack of bechira there. There was no, unless you say the person was absent-minded. I don't know. I don't think so. It's like not normal what happened, the way it was described to me. So Hashem didn't, you know, you go to the hospital and the person's not there. They checked out when they went to a different wing and you can't find them. And you can't be mevakecholo. You try to do the chesed and it doesn't go. So that's really the secret. That's the secret he's talking of. That the reason everything works out, because that's the truth is, that's not really in our control. The end result is really all Hashem. So Hashem is putting the jigsaw pieces together and everything's working out. And meanwhile, people are making choices. But, you know, some people's choices are working and some people's choices are not working. Some people have very good intentions. I want to make a yeshiva. I want to be makarev. I want to whatever the case may be. But Hashem decides. So that's, I think, the answer to his puzzle here. It's not like there's still an area that Hashem's not involved in. It's still philosophically a little difficult, or it's kiddish, or if you want to like really be a philosopher or a thinker, it really doesn't make sense that there could be any area in the universe that has Hashem, Chas v'Shalom, panui, that Hashem's not there. We don't really understand the Chira. That's maybe what he means also. We don't really understand it. We don't understand Bechira. How could it be? How could it be that a person can decide what to do on his own? That Hashem Kvayachal, I don't even know, I don't want to use the words. Hashem Kvayachal takes a step back. So that's still a mystery. But the mystery of how things work, if people are making choices, is maybe answered not in this Shar, but in Shar HaBitachon, where he says it. I think the fifth parak, where he talks about the dynamics of choice, that you choose and you plan. Those are the two things that are up to you. And what happens is already Hashem making sure that everything in the world that happens is supposed to happen. So at the very end of Parak Ches, because we don't understand electricity, you know, he gives these examples. He's not even talking about electricity or, you know, he's not talking about electricity. He's not talking about a computer chip. You know, we take it for granted. I was thinking, do a search. Like, all I'm doing is five keys. Like, where is... It's amazing, like, you know, you come up with the 2 million results in 1.6 seconds. I just punched five keys. And if I would punch it, like, if I would make a space or a comma, it wouldn't work. Anyway, the very last paragraph of the eighth parak, Umishahu Besichlus. If you don't understand how machines work, he gives really simplistic machines like a scale or whatever, water mill, something that's really part of everyday life. But we have that also. It's just that, you know, again, we don't know how it works. Your average person doesn't know how it works. So it's not at all surprising. He doesn't understand how Hashem runs the world. You can't compare a fax machine to Hashem. If we don't understand the fax machine, so Hashem is like 2 billion times beyond that. If you say Yetilim, he says here a pasuk that's very apt. Hashem lo gova libi v'lo romu einai. How can I be have any gaiva in me? I didn't try to understand things that are beyond me. The Omer Achar Zan, then in the next pasuk, he says, Masha Domolo mi Moster Elu Elokim. He talks about, I just have to put on my blinders. The people that philosophize about the nature of Hashem, they don't come out winners at the end. You have to put on blinders. And we feel that we're free to make choices. So we do the best we can and we make the choices. We have no indication in our personal lives that we're not free to make choices. What we see sometimes is that we don't get results. That's really not our choice. That's what the Chavis Lovos wants you to understand in Shar B'Tachon. That's not choice. Choice is not the result. That's Hashem. Choice is only the choice itself. This is what I choose to do. And the implementation of the choice. Why? Because the Chavis Lovos is very smart. He knows if there's no implementation, that's usually proof positive that the choice wasn't real. The choice is real when you have a game plan and you actually get up and do it. but the accomplishment is not up to you. So the pasuk gives him loy shivivstim demamdi nafshi. If I was quiet, kagomol laimo, like an infant feeding from its mother, kagomol lai nafshi. Okay, so now we move on to Perek Shi, the ninth Perek. Amra nefesh kvorni chamtoni. Okay, you calmed me down. You told me all these great things. And then I said, I have one major question left that I can't understand. People are free to do what they want, or is Hashem in charge? That was the question of Perek Ches. That's what Perek Ches dealt with. That was the philosophical question that he still had. After all the prokim of Avodas Hashem, he said, I still have this nagging at me, this question. So we resolved it as much as we're able to. So the Nefesh says, you calm me down, B'mesha Yeyashtoni, Meha Sigmund Adover. Say, you in effect told me, this is beyond my understanding, but you are free to do what you want. You are free to be Bocher. You're not free to do what you want in matters outside Tov Ra. That's sometimes a mistake people make. You are only free to make choices when it's good, Tov and Ra. Now, Tov doesn't just have, Tov could be mitzvahs, of course. It's things that bring you closer to Hashem. When you're choosing other things, say you're choosing a shidduch. So, if, you know, let's say a boy is choosing between the two girls. So if he's choosing between good looks and a Yirei Shemayim, so that could be Bechira already. That could be Bechira. So Hashem still has the Zivug prepared, but that's already the result, you know, whether what she'll say, what her parents will say. But his choice might be Tov Ra, but let's say it's not. It doesn't always have to be. Could be choosing, yes or no. So then Hashem is really completely in charge, and Hashem is maneuvering his whole life, and right, he's a puppet. Bechira is only, he's a puppet. He really does not have, even Bechira, where you say freedom of, you know, free will, I believe that the Chavis Halvodas holds, that we really do not have free will in anything other than Bechira, which is between Tov and Ra. Now, Tov and Ra doesn't have to be mitzvahs. It could be, if I should take another piece of cake, it could be Tov and Ra. Whatever it takes me, as Chazal was explained earlier in Shara Avodas Elokim, whatever brings me closer to Hashem is Tov. Chazal said, you know, you really could ask me a contradiction. Chazal said, there's no such thing as a middle ground. Everything. So I don't know, you go into a store, you have to buy chocolate or vanilla ice cream, and you choose. So I guess if your choice is, I can understand if one's less expensive and one is more alluring, so I could see that as a Bechira type choice you have to make. Because why should you spend your money just to give yourself pleasure? It's a fleeting pleasure. Pleasure that'll last half a minute, and then you'll break out, and right? You know, if it's the chocolate, you know, then you'll break out or whatever. So that's not. But let's say, I don't know, I assume Chavis HaLavdos says everything, but I guess it depends on your kavana, right? If I have to choose if I should take a bus or take a taxi, right? So okay, so it's how much money should I spend money on this, but I'm pressured for time. But it's my convenience, and I don't know if it's always Tov or Ra. Chazal Lovers makes it sound like yes, everything, because he puts it in terms of brings me closer to Hashem and brings me further. But you know, I guess it depends on your motives. It depends on your motives. If you say, I don't know. Anyway, but it's not really no gain. It's a philosophical question. Right now it's no gay us to know that this demarcation line that Hashem is controlling everything except for our Bechira. Argali li so dinyoni but I want you still I still need something from you. Here's what's the meaning of life. Here's what everybody wants to know. Why was I put into this world? I still want to know that. You still owe me that. B'korev litzura sahechrech v'hatzedek, and allow me to understand a little better what I have to do and what I'm choosing to do. B'chol yicholtchom en aderech hakzera v'lo yeh inyoni ki'inyan mishlohevin ufani tovosu min hamalochim. Because I don't want to end up spending my life like this story I once heard. Okay, story time. You can tell your kids the following story. He now launches into a long story. Okay, you ready? A story. Vizela Sipur says, I don't want to be like the king in the following story. Once upon a time, Be'echod mi'iye Hodu, Bishop Xasiye Hodu, once upon a time, on a deserted island, Ir Achas, there was a city. This is what they did. Hiskimu Yoshveha, the people that lived there decided, Lamalos Alayim Ishnachri B'chol Shana. People, tourists would come to the island. And they would take one tourist and they would make him king. And he would be king for a year. So he's sitting there, he didn't know. So he sat there, and really he was only going to be there for a year, but he didn't know that. So, and after the year, Yotziyumi b'nehem, they threw him out. The Yachzer ala inyan, asher hayo olav kodem, shiyismane aleyan. And he would become the same schlepper he always was. V'hayo b'mismane aleyan b'sh'echot sochol. So this is a typical person they appointed, and he wasn't that bright, and he didn't ask himself, why are they making me king? Like, what is this all about? Lo yoda soldambo, he didn't know what they're going to do after a year. So how did he spend the year? He accumulated treasures in his palace, becovets mamonos. He collected money, uvana armonos v'chizkam, he built buildings, he built palaces, and he amassed money. Flohitzim Iram Dover. He didn't let out any exports from the city. He didn't want the wealth to escape him. So he just kept on accumulating, and he didn't send the money out. Vishtadl Lahobi Kalashahoyla Chutzlir, on the contrary, anything he had outside the city, he tried to bring into the city. He wanted to have it, right? Mamon, Isha, Ubonim. He said, this is great. This is unbelievable. I'm king. I can do what I want. And he says, I'm going to... He spends his time collecting money and bringing everything into the city. But, you know, then the year's up. And they tap him on the shoulder. And they throw him out, they say goodbye. He said, what? You can't do that to me? They say, sure we can. We brought you here, now we're throwing you out. And then he has nothing. They don't let him take anything with him. So he spent the whole year accumulating money and doing things and building things and applying himself to he probably sat with the architectural plans of the palace, deciding if there should be one door or two doors, how many closets, how many sinks, how many everything. And then at the end of the year, they throw him out and he has nothing. He has nothing now. And he felt, and he said, boy, I wasted a year of my life. I wasted it, because everything I did that year, he didn't even have time to enjoy it, Kemat, because if you think about it, he just kept working and working and working to accumulate, and now he has nothing to show for it. And now someone else is going to have it. He felt foolish and he couldn't stop berating himself for wasting his time. They agreed, they took someone else, next korban. Nilbav Venovo, but this guy was smart. V'chashen Ismana Aleihem, so he became king. Bochar Mehem Ishechad, he took one of the palace people there. V'heitiv Elov, and he buttered him up. You know, he plied him with food, drink, maybe he gave him money. Then he says, psst, tell me, what's this all about? What are they doing here? I don't belong here. There's something going on. Do me a favor, tell me what it is. He befriends somebody and he asks him what's going on. What'd they do to the last guy? I'm not the first guy this happened to. What happened to the last guy that was here? Tell me. So he befriended this person. The Gila Lo Sodom, the Daitombo. He told them what they're going to do after a year. He goes, okay. Now this guy's smart, and so he spent time and effort to find out what's going to be with him, because he knew that this is very strange. It's strange. He didn't, I don't belong here, and all of a sudden I'm king, and I can do what I want. And, thank you. The waste of the cup, by the way. Yeah, this is still clean. Nobody drank from it. It's just wet. No one drank from it. Thank you. So what did he do? So first of all, obviously the Nimshel's obvious, but it's a great story. But realize that this is part of the Mashal. He spent efforts to find out. It didn't make sense that he's just here. So he befriends somebody that tells him the secret. So what does he do? What are the prisoners? What would you do in such a situation? He was not interested in building up what he had here. It's going to come to an end in a year. He's not interested in importing the wealth from outside the city into the city. He's not interested in building anything. He was interested in exports. He started funneling wealth from the city to outside the city, because that's where he's going to end up. So he starts to funnel the wealth to outside the city. He doesn't build buildings here or palaces or accumulate money and treasures here. He starts sending out the money. He figures out a pipeline. But achistadol the torach lahotzi kol dover yokor shoya beir. He takes all the valuable things that are in the city to take it out of the city, so that he'll have it when he gets thrown out. The sum kol mechmanov umachmodov zulasa, and anything that was dear and precious to him, what came his way because he was king, so anything that was dear and precious, he exported immediately, sent it out. He sent it out of the city. What does he want it here for? This is absurd. So he sends it out. And the whole year, I mean, you gotta understand, he's the king. He wakes up, people are bringing him presents, people are praising him, people are telling him how smart he is, how powerful he is, how great he is, and they're bringing him presents, and they're paying homage to him, and he has to work very hard that he doesn't take it seriously, because he knows what's going to be. So he thanks them, you know, he puts on a smile and he thanks them, but he knows that it's empty words. Everything that they're honoring him and they're bowing down to him and they're praising him, he found out it's all empty. How did he feel that whole year? He had mixed feelings between Avelus and Simcha. L'mayzitz gishmak here. It's great here. Mesabel b'mehirus yitzioso me'itom. You know, he's having a good time, but he's mesabel because he knows it's all going to be over very, very shortly. He says, you know, how much can I export in a year? How much can I sneak out? What can I do already? You know, my hands are tied. I'm limited with what I can send out. I wish I was here more than a year so that I could send out more stuff. If I would stay here more than a year, not he would enjoy himself more, he would export more. So on one hand he's Mesabel because he wishes he could stay more to send out more, but on the other hand he's happy when it's time to leave because he knows that this whole thing was for a year, and when he gets outside he's going to have everything that he sent out. Now he's sitting pretty, no one's going to bother him. And he has that, and no one's, you know, he has that forever. He has that, and he can enjoy it. No one's going to bother him with it. So he's looking forward to it. Here he's busy exporting. So on one hand, he feels bad, because he wishes he could stay here more and export more, because that day is going to come eventually. But he feels good that he knows he prepared, and he knows what's waiting for him. And here he knows it's false smiles, and false praise, and it's just a show. And it's all empty. It's all over, very shortly. Where he's sending it to, that's when he's really going to have it. So in that sense, he's happy, but say, so mehera mimeno, l'hisyashev, to go live, b'mokom asher, som shom chamudosov, where he put his treasures. V'yishtamish b'hem, and there he'll be able to use it in the best possible way, no pressure, no one standing over his shoulders, no one, the clock's not ticking down to the end of the year. All different ways of pleasure. Belev Shalem, he earned it, he sent it out, he prepared it. V'nefesh betucha v'asmodas ha'inyan, it's going to stay that way. U'chishol m'shanoso, they say, okay, guess what? We're throwing you out. So everybody else, till him, started crying and kicking and screaming. He says, okay, where's the door? Fast. I want to go. Show me. You can't get me out of here fast enough. So on one hand, you know, he has mixed feelings because he'd like to stay more and send out more. But on the other hand, he has no problem leaving because he knows he prepared. He didn't get all depressed that he has to leave. Achmir ledover. Okay, if it's time to leave, he's happy. Besimchas leiv, who besef upon him. He's smiling at them. They look at him like he's crazy. Everybody else till now, when they tapped him on the shoulder and said time to leave, put up a fuss and started fighting with them. This guy gives them a big smile and a yashikayach, and he says, okay, let's go. I'm ready to leave. No problem. Mishabeach ma'aseihu. Mishtadluso, he's proud of what he did, of how he prepared. Volach letova rabba, and he went, and he has outside, that's where he has the treasures waiting for him. Kovod gadol, b'simcha masmedes. V'somach b'shnei anyonim. So he really has both simchas. He was happy when he was in the city, because he was doing something purposeful and useful. He was preparing for when he has to leave the city. And he has the simcha now, when he has everything that he prepared. It turns out that he really had a good time in both places. It's a very, very wise thing, Chavos is saying in his marshal. The foolish people, they have nothing but double agmas nefesh. They look back and they see they wasted their time. All the pleasures that they had is ashes in their mouths, because it's nothing. It lasts for a year. What do you gain out of it already? Empty. They can't take it with them. They didn't take it with them. And now they have nothing. So they're... This guy has the best of both worlds. He feels good about his sojourn there for a year because he did very wise. He prepared and he accumulated and he sent it out. And he sent it out to a place where he's going to have it after the year. So he looks back and he feels very good about himself. He feels proud of himself that he spent the year so purposefully. And he has everything that he prepared. So he feels like $1 million, $2 million, $1 million and $1 million. So that's the story, the guy says. This is the story I heard. It's a good bedtime story. Vani Yireya, and the nefesh says, I'm afraid, you know. She Ukraini Mikri Aksil. I'm afraid that at the end of my life, I'm going to look back and I'm going to realize that I was the first guy in the story, not the second person in the story. Asher Yoga Bishneyo and Yonim. He worked hard for both things. He worked hard to accumulate. And then when he left, he wanted to take it with him, and he has nothing. For Hifsid, Bishneya Mukomos. He's 0 for 2. He's 0 for 2. That what he had is fleeting and nothing, and now where it counts, he has nothing because he didn't export anything. Adarav, he imported. He took everything good from outside the city. He brings it into the city, and it goes for waste there because he can't take it with him after the year. V'chimesh ha'kanani ha'kel oscha, Baruch Hashem, I have seichel. You're my buddy. This is the nefesh talking to the seichel. Tell me how I could avoid being that foolish person. Horeini v'hareini inyoni u'mashe amadato olav misod dvorai. You understand the moshel and the nimshel. So tell me, what have I come to this world for? Like, what am I doing here? Something. You're my friend. You're my friend, right? Now we're in the marshal. Doesn't make sense. We should be here, and therefore we're put here for a purpose. So what's the purpose? Ofane takanosi. Okay, we'll have to wait till next week to find out. Okay, I think you'll stand the suspense.